Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. On our observance of Veterans Day, we conclude our series about local veterans and their families as they make their way through the VA system. If you or your loved one has experiences with the VA, we'd like to hear them. Tweet us at STL on Air with a hashtag MySTLVA or email us at talk@stlpublicradio.org. Monica Ramirez, former combat correspondent for the U.S. military in Iraq and South Korea, and a Mission Continues fellow, brings us these stories now. We should note, however, that there is some graphic language 30 seconds into this piece and 5.5 minutes in.
Out on the streets, in a civilian world, you feel alone because people don't understand you.
That's what I really want, like, to be able to be a functioning member of society and contribute.
You know, Veterans Day parades and things like this, but people don't want to talk about the nitty-gritty.
And you get out here with people who are on their own individual trains of thought.
Just thank you for your service. Bye. You know, it's more than that.
Combat trauma, addiction, alcoholism, substance abuse.
Dead bodies, their heads blowed off, legs, stomach. We had to see all of it.
If you are in emotional distress or suicidal crisis, please press 1 now.
Now I'm in the process of rebuilding my life.
No current thoughts of suicide. No thoughts like that in the past 2 months. Have you ever made an attempt on your life before?
No. Thankfully, I have not.
Okay.
The psychologist here.
The PTSD clinic here is phenomenal.
These are social organizations that engage. You know, Team Red, White, Blue, Team Rubicon, Mission Continues.
Recreational therapy.
And it takes away from some of the other stresses that they may be dealing with.
There's a trauma group, culinary programs, fishing and stuff like that. Different groups, like just being able to hear other people's problems and put yours out there, you know.
That encouragement, it makes it easier to ask for the help that you need.
These are the stories of veterans in St. Louis fighting to get help from the VA after returning home from service. I'm Monica Ramirez. For this three-part series, I talked with veterans and family members of veterans about their journey recovering from the consequences of war through services provided by the VA. In part one, we followed them down the complicated benefits application process. In part two, we heard their stories about the care they received in the system. Here in part three, we find out what actually helps as they work their way back from a combat life to a civilian one. Part three, getting back to people.
I just felt like it was kind of hard getting back to people.
Daily encounters, casual how's it goings, those passing social niceties, nothing really makes sense anymore when you come back from the military experience. This is Tyrone Hud, former military quartermaster, trying to sort it all out.
Like, how you doing today type of thing. Like, don't say that. You know what I mean? Don't say that, especially if you don't care, because you know if you care or not. But then again, who I don't know if they care or not. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where it's just adapting to people and human nature. It's just that much tougher for a combat veteran. We're so in depth with our personality and analyzing and the people around us, we have to be on the same train of thought. And you get out here with people who are on their own individual trains of thought, not caring about you, and you could take a lot of human nature as disrespect. It's really hard, you know, just to come back to humbleness.
The way we're trained, the way everything's drilled into our head, when you transition to the outside world, it's rated G compared to what we're used to.
Brian Duncan is a former combat engineer.
Everybody wants to, you know, coddle you and hold you with kid gloves, and we're used to nothing. We're used to doing everything on our own. It is hard to trust people. Out on the streets, in a civilian world, you feel alone because people don't understand you. People look at you like you have the plague or some kind of other disease. And really, all we need is people to just be around us and help us. You know, reach out to us because we're too hard-headed to ask for help.
The consequences of war. Grown men cry. And the strongest humans need help now. Everything is different. Nothing is how you know it. Imagine what they feel like in this strange place. So just how are you supposed to get back to normal after being in military combat? Or maybe the question should be just, how are you?
Well, it's just thank you for your service. Bye. You know, it's more than that.
Jonathan Hurley was deployed twice in 8 years as a Marine.
It's engaging veterans. It's being concerned. It's being interested. It's, you know, it's caring for your fellow, you know, a fellow human being who did, you know, something that not a lot of people want to do. You know, we see a lot of the news and a lot of the spotlight and, you know, Veterans Day parades and things like this, but people don't want to talk about the nitty gritty. You know, they don't want to get into the details of what it's like and, you know, what the experience is.
Remember Vietnam combat veteran Gerald Agee from Part 2? He talked about the difficulties of some of his doctors not being able to relate to his experience, the details of which, the nitty-gritty, are isolating.
The ugly stuff that happened in Vietnam, dead bodies of American soldiers, heads blowed off, legs, stomach, all that stuff was gone. We had to see all of that, and that was sad. They don't understand what we're going through.
Are you okay?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to do. So, I got a younger son, and I said, whatever you do, don't you never go into service. Don't you go.
This is not exactly the kind of PSA the U.S. government wants to hear, or the VA for that matter. And it's not the feeling all vets have either, but they're human beings, and it is hard.
If you are in emotional distress or suicidal crisis, please press 1 now.
Unfortunately, every vet knows about death and mourns loss. Every vet knows someone who has lost their life due to combat or combat-related injuries. A shocking amount of vets have taken their life to end the daily struggle of coping with their losses. I personally can count 12. People who call the Veteran Crisis Line, a resource staffed by volunteer citizens, not necessarily VA employees, are given the opportunity to talk it out with someone. When I called to get info about what they offer, I was caught off guard at the end of our conversation.
And Monica, again, I know you're calling for completely different reasons, but for your research and, you know, just for our benefit as well, just so that we know that you're okay, that no current thoughts of suicide, no thoughts like that in the past 2 months. Have you ever made an attempt on your life before?
No, thankfully I have not.
Okay, all right, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that, and I'm also glad that you're looking into this. Just want you to know we're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and if you do need us for more than just research, if you ever need some support, or if you're in crisis, I hope you understand that you can give us a call.
It's a resource that is perhaps underused and perhaps understaffed. Like everything in life, there's good and bad things about it. I was reminded of this from Dave Corbett of Six String Heroes, a guitar workshop for vets that's not officially a part of the VA.
Yeah, I know I mentioned before I was raised in a military family, so I've seen how the military operates in a lot of ways. And sure, there's some really good things, and there's also some really bad. So I understand. I guess the key is to find a way to point out the bad things and make it better. I think there are a lot of vets that find ways to focus their attention on playing guitars, and it takes away from some of the other stresses that they may be dealing with.
On Maslow's hierarchy of needs pyramid, the next most fundamental need of humans after the basics, breathing, food, water, shelter, and safety, is a sense of love and belonging. Finding a sense of love and belonging through fellow veterans doing good work in the world is what inspired Brian Duncan to do just that.
Like my PTSD doctor is not a veteran, and I was a little weirded out by that at first. But then we were talking, and she said, what I do is noble. What I did in the Army was very noble. And I said, no, you can train a monkey to shoot a gun. It's very simple. I said, what you do is noble. You come in here every day, and you listen to guys like me all day long, and you still come to work. I said, so there's a reason why you're doing this. And she told me her father was a Vietnam veteran. okay? So she's experienced life with somebody like me. So I think that qualifies her right there. She doesn't need a degree from, in my eyes, she does have one. She's a licensed psychologist, but just growing up in that area with, you know, the same issues I'm struggling with, that's qualified enough for me. They've walked a path that we have walked. They've done, you know, they've suffered with, you know, combat trauma, some of them. Some of them have battled addiction, alcoholism, substance abuse, all that. And so I can relate to them a little more because they know where I'm coming from. It's actually what I'm planning to do when I complete this program.
The program is peer support. It's a state-certified program whereby troubled veterans like Brian are stationed throughout the VA. The homeless shelter, rehab centers, hospitals, to bond with other veterans who need help. These peer support specialists have an invaluable tool that nobody else has. Their own story of getting their life back together.
It's a win-win situation for me. I get to give back to my brothers and sisters coming home to try to prevent going through what I went through. And then also, it's a little reality check for me. I can see these new people coming in, and it reminds me of where I once was and where I don't want to go back to. But mainly, it's giving back to my fellow vets.
Likewise, Six String Heroes seems to inspire in the same way.
We have several instructors who started as students in the program.
Tyrone Hood.
There's so much they got to offer up here, it's ridiculous. There's some nice counseling available with the psychologist here. We have a bunch of groups, like there's a trauma group, culinary programs, fishing and stuff like that. Anything like that type of activity really helps. It takes a lot off, you know what I mean? Any kind of help, you know, helps, but I think more so these groups, having all the veterans sit around and talk about their problems and healing methods and things like that, I think that really pays off.
But of course that means you face your demons.
And saying that, it can bring up some pretty dark feelings that you didn't know you had. And you have some pretty sick thoughts, but the important thing is to keep doing it.
Finding a sense of love and belonging. Tim Yandel.
In these programs, the domiciliary, the SAR, TP, the recreational therapy, just the people at the VA in general that work here, I've been told several times, you know, they appreciate what we've done for our country. They said, you know, you let us serve you because you served us. Things like that, well, you know, that encouragement, it makes it easier to ask for the help that you need.
Even Gerald found some help along the way.
And finally, I started going to get help, and I went to the PTSD class and got with Dr. Lomax, and then he began to put me back up straight.
The bad news is Dr. Lomax is retiring. The less bad news is there are good doctors out there if you can find them. They repair the first, most fundamental piece of Maslow's pyramid, the physiological one. Brian Duncan.
The PTSD clinic here is phenomenal. My doctor, I call her the miracle worker. There is a new medicine out that helps with the nightmares and flashbacks. I call it the miracle pill. Also, what's helped me more than anything is opening up with and talking to my fellow veterans. I mean, from the first day I started this program, I felt at home. I felt normal. I'm around, it's the camaraderie of our fellow veterans. You know, being around brothers and sisters who walk the same path we've walked, and they know everything else about it. It's just, it's very reassuring, and it just puts you into a comfort level where you can open up more.
After going through what they have, it's pretty awesome to see these vets helping each other. Tyrone Hood.
That's what I really want, like, to be able to be a functioning member of society and contribute to my community, wherever that is, you know. Do something, because, you know, these young people out here are trying to join the military rapidly, and, you know, I feel like maybe I could give them some kind of, like, padding, you know, to go in, because there's so many jagged edges, you know.
But sometimes the stuff that really matters in life, you know, the love and belonging stuff, has to be rebuilt from scratch.
Due to my PTSD, it cost me everything, and now I'm in the process of rebuilding my life. there is help out there.
Okay.
Don't wait till it's too late.
Yeah.
That's really all I got, Monica.
Jonathan Hurley agrees.
Veteran organizations now aren't a bar where veterans can escape to and, you know, be in this dark, shadowy corner filled with smoke and drink that they could just hide in. Veterans organizations are, you know, Team Red, White, Blue, Team Rubicon, Mission Continues. These are social organizations that engage the communities that they're in.
And finally, a word about those organizations in case you wanted to know more about engaging. Team Red, White, and Blue puts on events and social outreach for veterans and their family. Team Rubicon is a disaster relief and emergency response team made up of military veterans. And the Mission Continues, an organization that was founded by Eric Greitens, puts veterans like myself into the workplace based on occupational skills developed in the military. This organization facilitated my fellowship here at St. Louis Public Radio. After talking with the director and chief of staff, I felt like maybe the VA really is striving for change, which gave me so much hope for current veterans seeking medical care and veterans in the future.
We are not your grandpa's VA. We are not the VA we were in the 80s. And 5 years from now, I hope to say we're not the VA we are today. We strive to improve, and we have improved. If you look at where we were several years ago, through surveys or talking to veterans, things have significantly improved. But we got a long way to go. It's going to be a lot more hard work, but we're willing to do that. And I'm excited that for the first time in more than 5 years, we have a full permanent leadership team here so that we can put the efforts into all of the various areas that need to continue to improve so that every single day is better and providing a better experience for the veteran than the day before.
I do realize the VA has to break through a lifestyle that was ingrained into us from the very beginning, from basic training all the way throughout our entire careers, a way of thinking that would help us through long hours, time away from our loved ones, and year-long, or in some cases, even longer, deployments.
They've been told and beat into them that, you know what, when I'm in the military, I have no weakness. I show no weakness. I can't have a mental health problem because, you know, it'll go against me and I'll either be kicked out or, you know, my career is gone if I'm labeled as needing mental health. We got to get past that, particularly once they transition from a soldier to a veteran, because we have those resources. We are here for them.
Hopefully, if everyone just works together, the veteran and the clinicians, and just listen, things can only get better from here. Thanks to Aaron Dorr, Kelly Moffitt, Alex Hoyer, and lead producer Mary Edwards for all the support in producing this documentary. For St. Louis Public Radio, I'm Monica Ramirez.
That was Mission Continues fellow Monica Ramirez concluding her journey with local veterans and their families by looking at the social programs that are so integral to the healing process that all veterans go through. Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.